This morning's scripture reading will be from Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Thanks so much for coming. We're going to get into the lesson in just a second. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is a result of things that you all have said that you're interested in doing. A few months ago, a large percentage of you filled out a congregational assessment, and one of the questions asked is, what would you like us to be doing as a church? And a huge percentage of you said, we want to be a church that shares Jesus with the community around us. And we want to impact the community around us for Christ. So today, I'm going to be talking from a passage in John chapter 4 where Jesus does that. He goes and shares himself with a person from a culture that's not accepting of Christianity. And he kind of shows us how to do that by giving the gift of himself. So what I'd like us to do, in just a second, I'm going to ask you to stand up, welcome the people around you. I want you to think about one of the best gifts you've ever given. And to tell that to the person next to you. Stand up, welcome the folks around you. If you're visiting, we hope to really intimidate you with our kindness right now. So, great to have you here. That's enough. Sit down. Sit down. Don't make me call you by name. All right. Thanks so much. Oh, and by the way, seriously, stick around afterwards. There should be plenty of food for all of us. It'd be fun to get to spend time with you. Thanks so much for the graciousness of people about my birthday. Yesterday, I turned 61 years old, and I never thought I would be this old, but I'm glad that I am, because of considering my other options. But I'm glad that thank you so much for your kindness, but hopefully you'll stick around. I saw some really good ham that looked down there, and so I hope hopefully you can hang out, and we'll have a good time together and get to know each other better. Okay, let's get into it. This is serious stuff that is a little bit uncomfortable, because who would stand here and raise their hand and say, you know what, everybody should follow me in the way that I share my faith with non-Christian people? Anybody want to raise their hand up on that one? Now, we know this is that passage that Seth just read is something we're pretty familiar with. I mean, that's black and white. There might be a lot of things that are gray in the Bible. You know, can you do this? Can you do that? Is this the best judgment? But that's in black and white. And yet it's an area that we really struggle. And sometimes the longer that we are a Christian, the more challenging it becomes. But it's what we've based our lives on and what people base their life on to help us to get to where we had a relationship with Christ. So we need to talk about it, and we need to see how we can be more effective. So we're just going to kind of get into it today. If you were not in Bible class, we had a guest speaker who was incredibly eloquent. Very, very talented. I was mesmerized by his every word. And basically he said this: here's the why we should share our faith with other people, because people matter to God and to Jesus. Secondly, sin is real. Read the paper. It's real. People lose their lives because people sin. People lose their eternal lives because they sin. Thirdly, Jesus came here to help people come to Christ himself, to come to God, to find grace and mercy, forgiveness, and his love, and a purpose for living. Now, he's commissioned us to do the same thing. As his children, he's called us to follow his example, and more importantly, to take on his mission in life. So, let's get into it. How many of you have ever read one of these books? You ever seen these things before? Dummies for Whatever? You have not seen? Who are you people? These, let me tell you something. I think they've been in existence a little over 30 years. They've sold, there's over 2,700 copies. They've sold over 200 million volumes. Basically, what Dummies books are about is taking complex subjects, like the very first one that was written was called DOS, D-O-S, which is, I think, an old computer program for operating system for dummies, and they've gotten 2,700 other titles since then. And what they do is take complex subjects and make them very simple for dummies. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus would have done that for us when it came to sharing our faith? Wouldn't he just say, here's the three things you do to get somebody to give their life to Christ? I mean, wouldn't it be great? And I want you to know, I went on their website and I checked under how to make a disciple of Christ. They have no volume of that. There's no Dummies book for that. There's also no Dummies for how to find a good husband. That's not in there either. Or wouldn't it be great to say, here are the eight things that you need to do to have great kids? Or how to stay away from materialism. The big subjects in life don't lend themselves to breaking it down to minimal little points, but here's what we can find out. If you read through the Bible, and specifically the New Testament, it tells us this: number one, how to be a godly person, and then number two, it shows us Jesus and his disciples modeling us for us ways to share their faith and to share Jesus with other people. So that's what we're going to do this morning, is we're going to look at a place in John chapter 4, where Jesus' ministry is gaining traction. He's starting to have some popularity, so much so that he's getting some tension, and he decides to go back from Jerusalem up north to where he was from in Nazareth. And to do that, he goes through the ancient country of Samaria, which used to be part of Israel, but 900 years early, there was a civil war, and Samaria, what was then called the 10 northern tribes, but came to be known as Samaria, split off, and they became their own entity. And as a result, there was an enormous amount of political, social tension between Samaria and what the remaining two nations of that made up Israel, or Judah. They pretty much hated each other, and the typical person who was a Jew, instead of going due north from Jerusalem up to Nazareth, which would have taken through Samaria, they would go east, go across the Jordan River, go through other countries, and then go back to the west to get where they needed to be. That's how bad it was. Jesus doesn't do that. He goes straight through enemy territory. And from this encounter that we see him have with a woman at a well, a famous well, we can, I think, extrapolate, figure out some things that we can do specifically to tell us how to share our faith with other people. John chapter 4, let's see if I can get it. All right, let's go. Verse 1. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. All right. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. You read the Old Testament, those are big names. Jacob was one of what's called patriarchs, and his son Joseph was a big deal dude. He helped get the people of Israel out of Egypt. I mean, and help them rather find Egypt and be safe. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily. Said, well, imagine if I read it on this. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. Here's the first thing I want you to do. You write this in your outline, even if it brings back bad memories. Make room in your life for people who don't yet know Jesus. I think I have that as a total typo, but I think you'll get the point. This seems so basic, but it's so hard. We're busy people. We have lots going on in our lives. But what Jesus shows us is he's on a mission. He's going up back home. I don't know exactly what the reason, but Jesus never did anything without a purpose. So he's got some place he needs to be. He stops by a well, and a woman comes, and he goes, "Ah, I'm opening my life to this person." One of the big things on how to share your faith with people who don't know Jesus is you've got to open up space in your life to make that happen. And that's hard for a lot of different reasons. So let me give you an important principle that most of you have probably never heard of before. How many of you know what a Lego is? This side over here doesn't know anything. I'm kidding. So a Lego. How many of you have stepped on these in the middle of the night and wanted to choke your children? That we know what we're talking about. All right, I want you to notice these little pips, I think that's the exact name. These things actually have a name to them. And I'm going to talk you through this. Correct me if I'm wrong. But they're connecting points. And those little pips at the top allow that block, that Lego block, to be connected to other Lego blocks. Now, here's the Lego principle. I'm not being silly. I want you to think about this. This is a modern-day parable. Each Lego block only has 8 connecting points. So it has a finite number of other blocks that it can connect to. You only have so many connecting points. And if you don't understand that, you're going to frustrate a lot of people in your life. Because you're going to be writing checks, making promises, offering to do things for people, wanting to build meaningful relationship with people, but you can't because you're already locked up in relationship with other people. You have no space for anyone else in your life. Have you ever had people that you know and other people know as well, about a third individual, is, yeah, they say yes to everything, but they don't mean it? Because, yeah, they liked it. They don't want to disappoint anybody, but they're saying yes. I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. And sometimes it's not because they're irresponsible. It's because they don't understand the Lego principle. So one of the major reasons that we don't share our faith with other people is that we don't understand this principle. Because we have no little connecting points available for somebody who doesn't know Christ. Because we're all locked up with Christians. Or with our family. Or with our pals at work. So one of the major ways of understanding how to share your faith is to understand the Lego principle. You only have so many connecting points. So if you want to share your faith, you've got to free some space up to make availability for someone to come into your life who doesn't know Christ. And that's tough because we're telling you at church, you need to do more things with Christians. That's a surprise that I've told you that we do that. But we do. So there has to be an emphasis from church leaders as well to say, we want this to happen. We want you to have space in your life where you can develop a meaningful relationship with the parents that you're standing on the sideline with who don't know Christ, who's watching and yelling at their kid and the coach, as well as you're yelling at your kid at the coach while you're watching soccer. We want you to have that kind of relationship to move forward, to have significance as well, or whatever that is for you. Okay, I want you to know, I'm not a good enough speaker or communicator to tell you how passionately I feel about this. You can't share Christ with people you don't have a relationship with. So you have to open it up to be a friend. Secondly, let's keep going. There we go. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. Okay, Jesus has just asked, give me a drink. Here's her response. Here's what's going on in her head. What are you talking about? She said, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who is speaking to you, you would ask me and I would give you living water. All right, let's go back to this. Any of you seen these Capital One commercials, what's in your wallet? Thank you. We have someone that is... Thank you. Yes. Okay, I've forgotten your name. Tell me your name.
Adam.
I won't forget that. My brother's name is Adam. And Adam, you're going into sixth grade? So I connect. There we go. Adam and I have made a connection. You need to know what's in your well. We could talk, believe me, I could preach on these two verses for a month, taking time out for meals, but I could do it. Thank you for the two of you that got that. Here's what I want you to write down in your outline. You got to know what's in your well. Okay, so I've made time. I've freed up some of my connecting points. And I'm wanting to do that, but here's where we struggle. What if somebody asks me something? What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to communicate? Here's the deal with Jesus. This woman goes, why are you asking me to get you a drink of water? And he said, if you only understood who I was and the well that I am, you'd ask me to draw you a drink of everlasting water. Notice this. Jesus knew what was in his well. Here's the question for you. What is the well that you can draw from to share with others about Jesus? What has Jesus done for you that no one else has ever done? That's important to know. What has he done for me? Well, he's added a lot of guilt to my life if I don't go to Wednesday nights. Well, if that's all you got, you're probably not going to want to share that with people that you've made time and space in your life for. So here's what I've done. I have put together, I just sat down and went, what has Jesus done for me? So I'm going to give you 11 things that have been significant to me that no one else has ever given me except Jesus. And I hope that will cause you to think about it on a personal way. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, write that down, those verses down. That verse down, in it, Peter says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that's within you. He doesn't say, give people the 5-point plan of salvation. He says, be able to tell people the difference Jesus has made in your life. What's the reason that you hope in God? That's kind of important to share. Here's some things. Mercy keeps me from getting what I deserve. Okay, here's what Jesus gives me in mercy. I deserve to go to hell. Jesus makes it so I don't have to. Counter to that, grace gives me what I should never have. Not only does Jesus keep me from going to hell, he makes it possible for me to be comfortable with God. Nobody else does that. That's what grace is. Grace means I can be comfortable with God and not be scared to death of him seeing me and my inadequacies. Forgiveness. I've made a lot of mistakes and messes in my life. Jesus makes it so I can be forgiven. Let's do this real quickly, and I know that time is going quick, but this is significant. All right, one of the things on the survey that you guys said was 39% of you said we want to be out in the community sharing our faith. 39% of you also said we want to have teaching about divorce and family matters. There are people in this congregation that have been impacted by divorce. Both of my sisters have been impacted by divorce. My family has been very traumatized by it. Some people, a very good friend of mine, was the reason for another couple's divorce. Okay? You understand what I'm talking about? So let's think of you. I'm just using this as an example because it pertains to your church. So some of you have gone through that, let's say, and you realize you have some culpability, some fault in that. So you go, Bruce, and you tell me about it, and I do this. You're forgiven. How's that work for you? Come on, it's my birthday. It doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work. But when God says it, that's different. Yeah. And I've got a lot of sin. I've not been divorced, but I have it wouldn't take you long to figure out that I've got a lot of sin in my life. And I can ask other people to forgive me, but that doesn't get the job done. And one of the deep things that God has done for me through Christ is I can be forgiven. That's huge to me. A powerful life. Not only does Jesus forgive me, Jesus says, I'm giving you my spirit so you'll quit doing the silly things of sin that you used to always do. That's the Holy Spirit. He not only gives me direction by His Word, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but He also gives me the power to overcome my sinfulness, to actually start doing the things God wants me to do. Unconditional love and acceptance. Jesus shows me that God gets me. Even in my weirdness, I'm understood and loved. This has become very significant to me in the last few months. I've always talked about it. But for me, especially at this point in my life, I'm beginning in a small way to understand the joy of God getting me and loving me. That's huge to me. It's a big difference that He's made in my life. Belonging. I belong to God and I belong to His people, the church. In case you're visiting, this is the third time I've been here and they're throwing me a party. Where does that happen in your life? Where does that happen in your life? It happens here. And that's because of Jesus. Security. I know what my future is, that my future isn't based on me. I mess up. But through Jesus, I can know that I'm at peace with God. That's huge to me. Because I still mess up. Even though I'm on this side of the cross. Even though I've given my life to Christ, I still mess up. But He goes, I don't like it. But I can forgive it and help you move forward. A great thing that God does for us is He gives us Jesus to model our life after. Jesus isn't a list of rules to adhere to, but a friend to follow. Jesus gives purpose to my life. It's a big part of my prayer life. Make me more like Him. Not help me to live out the Ten Commandments more. The Ten Commandments are really important. I'm not slamming on them. But God, in this new day, author of Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 said, He sent His Son to show us how to do it, not just talking about it. All right. So those are some things that I, and there are others, and you don't have to have any of mine. But I'll tell you what, we get nervous talking to people about becoming a Christ follower because we can't tell them why we are. Why are you a follower of Christ? You need to know what's in your well. That takes a little bit of effort. It took me, I had to spend some time. What is it He's done for me that no one else has done? So you got to make room for people, then you got to know what the difference He's made in your life. And then, let's get to the third one. You got to accept people as they are rather than as they aren't. This woman, as Jesus and Jesus came from very different backgrounds and lifestyles. In their conversation, the woman points out that if you read the rest of this context, you'll notice she accentuates their differences. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. You're a man, I'm a woman. You're a rabbi, I'm not. Your country doesn't like us, we don't like yours. You worship in Jerusalem, we worship on a mountain up here. You keep reading the rest of it through about verse whatever. She talks and says all those things. Jesus talks about what... Now listen carefully. This is a very different thing than many of us were raised with. We were raised to point out our differences with other people. Look at what Jesus does. He points out what they have in common. She's there for water. He's there for water. They're both spiritual people who want truth for their lives. They're people who worship. Her people worship, his people worship. Ma'am, you're looking for the Messiah. I am the Messiah. Instead of building walls, brick by brick, Jesus, check this out, in the city of bridges, he builds bridges. He takes people where they are. It's important as you share your faith to accept people where they are and not try to change them. That's God's business, not ours. Only Jesus can change people. Leave the transformation stuff to him. Compliment rather than condemn. Look for areas of agreement. Build a bridge, not a wall. Lots of examples in Scripture about that. Finally, let me get this to you. Let's see if I can find it. Don't forget to talk about the important stuff. When you get invested in people's lives, you talk about stuff more than, hey, how's the weather? You all don't know me, so today as we're talking at lunch, we'll kind of shoot the breeze. Hey, where are you from? Nice to have you here. How about those whoever sports team you go for? Or are you into tipping cows? Is that everybody in Iowa, do they do that? Do you have 73 recipes on how to cook corn? You know, we talk about stuff like that. Typically men talk about work and sports, and women talk about important things, family, you know, whatever. But if we got to know each other better, we might talk about some different things. Hey, Bruce, you know, you talked about some sin in your life. What did you mean by that? Oh, I noticed that you have family and one child you don't talk about. What's that about? Talk to me about that. See, because when you become close to somebody, you don't want just the superficial stuff. You want something more. But here's the thing for many of us, if we don't make room for people in our lives, if we don't free up some of those connecting points, if we don't recognize the Lego principle, if we don't do that, if we don't understand these other principles that I've shared with you, we never get to the point of talking about the important stuff. And here's the important stuff. So you're getting to meet somebody, and they go, hey, what's the deal with you on Sunday mornings? You're there all the time. What's that about? Tell the truth. And here's the truth. God's made a huge difference in my life, so that's a non-negotiable for me. And I'd love to talk to you more about it. But there are certain values and principles that I live by. And if you're interested, I'd be glad to tell you about what makes me tick. But it has to do with God and Christ. And that's the truth of my life. And that's the important stuff. I can talk about weather. I can talk about whatever. But what makes me tick, the truth is these principles. And a lot of times, believe it or not, we don't ever talk about the truth of our lives. We've got, well, you know, I was raised that way. No, that's not why I take... You don't want to know why people are nice and gracious and share their food? It's not because they were raised that way. It's because Christ has made a difference in their life. That's the truth that we often don't share with people. We stop short of telling them the truth. Why are you on the sidelines with your kids? Why are you doing what you're doing? Well, I want them to have opportunity. I want to have them this. I want to have that. Well, God says that I'm supposed to love the kids that he's given me. That's why I do it. I don't mean to sound offensive or weird or out of touch, but that's what motivates me. That's the underlying purpose in my life. So that's kind of where, how you do it, that's the overarching, whether you do it with a slideshow or a film strip or cottage meetings or brownie, I don't care. But there's some basic overarching principles that are at work that make it important for you to understand, here's how you do it. You got to know what's in your well, because it's really hard to have people want to sell tickets on the Titanic. Hey, here's a Chase Lounge right next to me. You want to drown with me? No. here's the difference he's made. I'm willing to, Jesus accepted me as I am, I'm willing to accept you. And then in turn, at some point I'm going to share with you what really makes me tick. Here's something you can do for God. Here's something you can trust about him. God came to give you the best life possible. John 10:10, another verse you might want to write down. Jesus came to give us the abundant life, the fulfilled life. He came to make it so people could have the best life possible. In our culture today, that seems so antiquated and out of touch. When people are mocking Jesus and Christianity, you need to remind yourself over and over again, I didn't swallow some pipe dream. I gave my life to Christ because this is the best game in town. This is the best that the world has ever had offered to them. And then here's the thing. You notice I talked Lego earlier. Don't try this at home. I am a professional. I've searched high and low on the web for this picture. Clear your schedule. Here's something you can do. One of the most important things you can do is find time in your life for people that aren't, that some person, most people in this audience know somewhere from 6 to 12 people who don't know Christ. People have actually studied stuff like that. You know them. And why they don't know God? Maybe because you haven't taken the time to connect with them. So that's something you can do and think about it. I'll share with you. I've been praying. I work from home. I work primarily with Christians. So I've been praying over the last couple of months that God would send me a non-Christian person. 2 weeks ago, our next-door neighbors, who are in their 50s and live together, they both have been divorced, and they now live together and have done that for 7 or 8 years, my next-door neighbor comes over and says, would you guys like to go to a concert next Thursday night with us? I went, yeah, that'd be awesome. He said, yeah, there's... So we go. And I am so thick in the head that it took me a couple days after that invitation to go, oh, God's answering my prayer. Don't ask if you don't want him to give it to you. Now it's incumbent on me to find the time to build the rapport and relationship that eventually we can talk about things that are really important. Keep me accountable. I'll keep you updated. I have a friend of mine, I'm way done. Thanks so much for hanging in there. Who's in his early 40s. At one point he moved from D.C. to Hollywood to try to be a writer for television scripts for comedies. One of the funniest persons I've ever met in my life. His name's Todd Batt. I want you to know him. Todd is hysterical. He's funny. He's articulate. He now works for himself and does consulting around the country. He's got one daughter. It took them, he and his wife, Michelle, a long time to conceive a child. She's there in their mid-40s, and Emma, I'm guessing, is probably early middle school, maybe the same age as Adam. Todd is a robust, funny guy, athlete, and this last week he was in Johns Hopkins. He and his wife is Caucasian like I am, but she speaks fluent Spanish, works for Verizon, and they currently live in Mexico City, where she does work for them. They came back to the States. He's been not feeling well, and he got a diagnosis that he has ALS. And he will die within 4 years. If you were given 48 months, what would you do with your life? If you were given 36 months, what would you do? I'll tell you what Jesus did. He was given 36 months, and he went and told people how to find the life they're dreaming of. What would you tell Todd and Michelle to do with their lives? And then how does that impact yours? Let's stand and sing.